Hello, everyone. Today is Friday, November 24th. I'm Ryan Hill.
John Galantis.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. If you guys want to help us keep the conversation going, you can do so by sharing the show online. You can support us with your friends and family. Actually, take that, reverse it. You can support the show, share it online with your friends and family. That's how that is supposed to be said.
You got turkey on the brain. We'll forget.
Yeah, I got some turkey on the brain, man. I've ate a lot yesterday. Golly. But make sure you leave us some good five-star reviews, absolutely nothing less than five stars. I will find out that it was you, and I will punish you for that. We're going to leave some links in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today comes from Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death.
I think that's the whole, really isn't that the goal of what we should be striving for, to be magnifying Christ, whether it's in my life, whether it's in my death, no matter what I do, the legacy that I leave, the example that I set, it's that Christ be magnified, Christ be the one on display. All of my accomplishments, all this entire radio show, everything that we do as fathers and as husbands and as church leaders, it's all to magnify Christ,
yeah.
Not ourselves.
Yeah, Paul was very clear about that in his missionary journeys and his letters to people, that the goal was always Christ. Mm-hmm. The goal was always to put Jesus at the forefront, no matter what he was going through, because he talks about, you know, in various places, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. I've suffered much. And he goes into that in a little bit more detail in certain letters. But his goal was always to have Christ magnified. He's like, don't look at me. I'm not the one bragging. Look to Christ. Look
That's
to
right.
Jesus. He's the one that we should be focusing on.
Amen. You know, we had someone write into the show, Michael S. from North Carolina. He actually had a game idea for us.
I wanted to
do a segment where we just play a quick game. I think we got enough time to do it. So basically, he said, I got a fun game I saw on IG. That's Instagram if you're not tech savvy or you're not Gen Z savvy, for y'all to try during intro. My wife and I tried it last night and it was a good laugh. I figured y'all would enjoy it. It's called Mind Melding. So basically, we're going to count to three. We're each going to say a random word and then we do it again, but we have to try to link those words together.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
we
yeah.
see how many times it takes us to get to the same word.
Okay.
So
let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Ready? One, two, three, hot
cable.
Dog. Okay.
All right.
So now we're going to try to say words that link those two together. One, two, three, dinner.
Summer.
Okay.
All right.
One, two, three,
cookout.
Yeah! Yeah! Three rounds.
That's not
that
bad.
Fun.
That's not
right.
bad.
You want to do it again?
Yeah, let's do one more.
All right. All right. One, two, three, green.
Internet. What did you say?
Green.
Green?
Like the color green?
Okay.
You said internet?
Internet.
Ooh, that's crazy.
Okay.
One, two, three,
cafe.
Money. One, two, three,
coffee.
Nice,
yes,
dude.
Yes.
David, you want to try it?
We got it.
Do you want to try it? I'll sit this one out and maybe you and Ryan do it. Do you understand the rules?
Yes, I get it.
All right, Dave,
it.
You and me?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right, John, count us down.
All right. All right. Three, two, one.
November.
Horse. Okay.
Three, two, one.
Roosevelt.
TV.
You said TV?
TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
Three, two, one.
Knight of the Smithsonian.
Dang it.
What did you say?
President.
Not President.
All right.
Okay. All right.
One, two, three.
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
What? No.
No, no, no. Let's try it again.
All right.
All right. Ready?
Which ones were the? I said Knight of the Smithsonian, and you said President.
No, he said, yeah, he said President.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Robin Williams.
What are you doing, David?
I thought we were doing a different one. I didn't know we were doing Robin Williams again.
Even then, you still are supposed to say...
Hold on.
You're still supposed
All right, let's
to
try
something.
One more. Let's start from the beginning. One more. One more. Right.
From
Fresh
the
start.
Beginning?
Fresh start, yeah.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Microphone.
Car.
Microphone.
Microphone?
Yeah. Microphone.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Bluetooth.
Technology.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Wireless.
Mm-mm-mm.
David.
I'm afraid.
Just say a word.
I'm afraid. I'm scared.
The game doesn't work if you don't say the word.
It's not that I'm not saying it. I'm just scared. Is
of
all.
What?
To be. What if I'm wrong?
You can't be wrong.
You can't be it's wrong.
See how many times it takes you. Are you competing with me to get it in three?
Yes.
I knew it. One. So you said wireless. You, hold on. You said Bluetooth and you said technology.
Yep.
One, two, three.
Wireless.
Great. You did it.
There it is.
You did
well
it.
Done. We did it with no cheating involved here. That's fun. I love that game.
That's fun. Maybe Dr. Shaw's not going to be on the episode today, but maybe we can play it with him on Monday.
Yeah, that's fun. A lot of fun.
That's a fun game.
As
good
you
job,
guys
Mike.
Are going around Black Friday shopping today, play, what is it, Mind Melding? Is that what he called it?
He called it Mind Melding. I know you call it something else.
So we played a game very similar to this in our youth group. We call it Brainwave.
Nice.
But same concept, same setup, same rules and everything.
If you guys listening have some ideas for some good quick games that we can play on the air like that to kind of pad some of these segments out, let us know. You can write in and text us at what number?
252-582-5028.
See, that was friendly radio banter on the outside. On the inside, I forgot the number.
That's okay. it's like creased into my mind right now, so I could be like asleep and I'll just 252-582-5028.
Amen. You want to cut to an ad and come right back?
Yeah, let's do it.
What's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we hope you are enjoying the podcast thus far.
You know, we really appreciate how many of you download the podcast every day.
Right.
But we also want to remind you that we are first and foremost a radio show.
Clearview Today is actually syndicated through the Truth Network. And we just want to let you know right now that in addition to hosting the all-time best Christian talk show of all time...
Hashtag Clearview Today.
Hashtag Clearview Today. The Truth Network also, as it turns out, has an extensive library of Christian programming.
We really love everything they're doing at the Truth Network because the whole goal is to encourage, challenge, confront, and uplift listeners with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ through Christian talk radio.
And listen, we know we're not the only show wanting to expand its audience. So if you have a vision for your show or for your ministry, why don't you consider syndicating your show through the Truth Network? Because they rely on decades of experience of self-syndication with a full array of features for your long-form or short-form content.
Make sure you visit the Truth Network online today at truthnetwork.com. Or you can give them a call at 336-759-0363. Again, that's 336-759-0363. Well, John, are you ready?
I was born ready, my friend. Let's hop right back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and if you're joining us for the first time, Dr. Abadan Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website, that's abadanshah.com. Dr. Shah, I gotta say, you're looking like an empty chair this afternoon.
I thought you were in the beginning, I thought you were gonna be like, he's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism.
I was really hoping...
Author, professor at Carolina University, and not here today.
I was actually really hoping that Nicholas would cut to the empty chair, and then I see his camera's not even set up. So, I was setting up for a bit that I had no clue if it would actually
In your work. Head, though, the delivery was flawless.
In my head, Nicholas cut to an empty chair, and it's kind of like spinning slowly.
So Dr. Shah is not here with us on the show today because he is at ETS.
San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio, Texas. ETS, Evangelical Theological Society. And he's actually presenting a paper there, which is very exciting.
That's right. The paper is on Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30, where Paul is talking about being unified with Christ. We are his flesh and of his bones.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of manuscripts, and I think we've talked about this on the show. We're going to talk about it in greater detail once he actually presents his paper. But a lot of manuscripts don't. I don't know if it's a lot don't or some don't.
I think many don't include it.
Yeah.
It's many gravitate to the shorter reading.
No. Many advocate for the longer reading, but the earlier ones omit it, I think is what it is. That's like the debate, I think, is that the majority don't have it. I'm sorry. The majority do have the longer reading, but the earlier ones don't.
I don't know well enough to speak authoritatively.
I think it's that or it's reversed. Either way, that's what his paper is being presented on. So he's
that the longer reading should be in there.
Yes,
it should be included.
Correct. And we're going to talk about that in the coming episodes once his paper is actually presented. But for now, I thought it would be kind of fun since Dr. Shah's not here today. It's the day after Thanksgiving. We're all grateful for the different things in our lives. I thought it would be fun to kind of do one of the daily devotionals from Dr. Shah's book, 30 Days to a New Beginning by Dr. Abadan Shah and his wife, Nicole.
So good.
These are daily devotions to help you move forward. One of my favorites is actually chapter 14, Enjoy the Process.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I like this one so much is because it can be so, especially I think as guys, we are very goal driven.
Mm-hmm.
We're very career focused. We have ambition and we have a desire to build something and keep building and keep adding on to it.
Mm-hmm.
that you see the end goal so clearly in your mind that you can sort of forget where you are in
right,
the process.
Right.
And the encouragement is to not only be present in the process, but actually enjoy it. So I thought we could just kind of go like paragraphs at a time and maybe comment on some of these thoughts.
Yeah, I love that. And as we're reading, we want you guys to know that this devotional, 30 Days to a New Beginning, and the previous devotional in that series, 30 Days to a Crisis, are available anywhere books are sold. Right. I mean, well, let me not say that because they're not available maybe in your local bookstore. But I mean like Amazon, they're available in Audible.
Apple Books.
Yep, they're available any of those places. So if you're looking for a great devotional, I cannot recommend this highly enough. Number one, because it is Dr. Shaw's devotional, and you know John and I were involved in the process of making these things a reality, as well as David and others on the team. But these really are, we really do believe in these devotionals. That's because right. of what they bring to the table. It's bite-sized scriptural truths that help you either work through a crisis, the first one, 30 Days Through a Crisis, or get unstuck from where you are. So many times that's the posture we have in the Christian life, is we're just spinning our wheels. This devotional is great in helping you take that next step and move forward.
And a good point that Ryan made is that when you do get stuck, a lot of times we see that through the lens of failure.
Yeah.
But you can be technically doing things right. You can be making, like being successful and still be stuck. And I think that's what this chapter kind of sticks out in my mind.
Yeah.
Is that it's not just about, oh, I'm stuck in life, I'm a loser. It's like, no, we're doing things right, and I've got a clear goal in mind, and yet I'm forgetting to enjoy this process. So Dr. Shaw writes, in our fast-paced world with instant everything, people only want the result, and they want it immediately. I know that's a huge problem that I have. Processes that used to be enjoyable have become tedious drudgery. We as people have grown to despise waiting, which causes us to take shortcuts, which can lead to bad habits, and which ultimately ends in failure. Somewhere as a culture, we have forgotten that the process is a critical part of the result.
So good. So many times we want to skip to the end.
Yeah.
We want to just go ahead and hurry up and get through all of the tedium, all the nitty gritty details, and just make it to where I want to go. Mm-hmm. But there's process, and the process is an important part of that journey.
Yep.
We can't skip over those details because, I mean, that's where the meat of the journey happens, is in the process.
A lot of the people in our church are farmers. And so people who work on a farm, because we live in the South, in North mm-hmm. Carolina. I don't know if you'd call it the Deep South, but it is the South. And so a lot of the land around here in the culture and the economy is agricultural.
Yeah.
Those crops and those animals are going to grow at the same rate.
Yeah.
So also, if, like, if you work out, and this is a frustration that I've had for a long time, is that you just can't rush it. There's no supplements. There's no anything that's going to circumvent that hard work and get you to your goal faster.
Yeah, it's just part of the process.
Right.
It's part of the journey.
And so if the process is inevitable, there's no point dreading it. There's no point hating it. It you may as well enjoy it because it's going to happen anyway, and it's something God has given to you.
Mm-hmm.
Similar mistakes were made by the Jewish people when they were first taken into the Babylonian exile. God sent them away to purify and prepare them for the coming of the Messiah. However, somewhere along the way, they forgot that it was their own sin that caused them to be driven out in the first place. They hated the process of living in exile. All they wanted was the immediate solution, going back to Jerusalem.
We just got done talking about this in Sunday school, in our Sunday school program here at Clearview, the church where we produce Clearview Today from. We have a systematic chronological study of the Bible going on in Sunday school. So we're studying through the entire Bible in chronological order, and that's true across all age groups.
That's another thing you can't rush, is getting through the Bible.
Yeah. I mean, we've been doing this for over a year now, and we are just now in the Babylonian exile portion. So we've been talking through this, and we've been talking about what the Babylonian exile looked like.
Right.
And there were some people who kind of took to heart that kind of bloom where you're planted mentality, mm-hmm. but others just that desire, that urge, that burning desire to go back home, mm-hmm. to get back where you were, to get back to what you were dealing with. And that's a part of the journey. God has you in the waiting period for a reason.
That's a great point. And it's also something where you really do have to kind of put your money where your mouth is as far as this advice is concerned. Because the Babylonian exile was undisputedly a tragedy.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
So we look at the tragedies that happen in our world, even today with this Israeli-Hamas war, and we're like, okay, are we supposed to enjoy this process? Like this is part of the process of God's people.
Yeah.
Should they be enjoying it? And I think what we mean by enjoy the process is understand that God is working through it. It's not always enjoyable mm-hmm. in the sense that we feel like we're having fun
yeah.
or we feel happy about it. but we acknowledge that not only is it necessary, but it's ultimately going to lead to something good, something beneficial.
That's a good way to put that, is that it's not necessarily a fun thing, or you wouldn't be like, wow, I'm really happy that this is happening, but you understand that there's a purpose behind it.
That's right.
There's nothing that's wasted in the Christian life. So if you're in that season of waiting or in a season of process, know that God is still working. You're not just in a holding tank. God is still working and refining things in you and in that situation.
And that purpose is not just like, hey, you have to suffer through this. It'll always lead to something good.
Right.
And I think that's what we even see here, because it says in the next paragraph, God sent Jeremiah to encourage the people. And Jeremiah 29:5-7 says, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive. In other words, God was saying, bloom where I've planted you, make yourself at home, dig some foundations, get your hands dirty in the Babylonian soil, become a productive member of the society, make the place better by your presence.
Yeah. A lot of times I have seen, and you know, I've been guilty of this before, is as Christians, we adopt this like holy huddle mentality where it's like the world out there and we need to be separate from the world. So we're just going to like huddle together in church and we're going to protect our own and we're going to, you know, do the Christian thing and stay out of the world. And yes, we should protect our kids from the world. Please hear me when I say that. Don't expose them to all kinds of craziness. But at the same time, we've got to be in the world that God has called us to be in. No, this place is not our home, but we are living here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got to be an active influence in the world. God calls us to be the light of the world, and that's difficult to do from behind the closed church doors.
Yeah, it's easy to be like a Jonah and just withdraw. Like, okay, look, America, there's no hope left. I'm going to just focus on my family and my church, and as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Anyone can do that. That's what Jonah did. Mm-hmm. You know, Jonah was like, hey, look, I'm not going over there. They are godless. They are savages. They will kill me. And I just really don't want them to come to know Christ. I don't want them to come to know God. That's easy. And God has not called us to do that. And it even says in the next paragraph, it says, at first, the people didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear Jeremiah's message to them. But God was clear. This is how things would be for the next 70 years. On the other hand, if the people were obedient to plant themselves where God had placed them, then his promise to them would be this: for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. That's that famous, famous scripture. People often quote this promise, but they fail to realize that God's promise was contingent on the Jewish people actually obeying him and enjoying the process he had ordained for them. True to his word, at the end of 70 years, God raised the Medo-Persian king Cyrus the Great to overthrow the Babylonians and free the Jewish people from their exile. As tough as it was for them, the Babylonian exile was truly a blessing in disguise. We don't like to think about our tragedies like that.
Yeah.
We don't like to think about our tragedies being blessings for us.
Well, it doesn't feel like a blessing in the moment. No. So it's difficult to kind of rationalize that in your head.
That's right. After they returned, the Jewish people finally put an end to their centuries-long struggle with idolatry once and for all. They began to study the law, establish synagogues, and became a missionary-minded people. Their journey, although difficult, had placed a deep longing in their hearts for the coming of the Messiah.
You know, as we've been talking about this idea of enjoying the process and kind of, you know, being content and trusting God in a season of waiting, it reminds me of when I was in seminary before starting here at Clearview. Mm-hmm. So I was enrolled in seminary and I was working toward my master's. I had about 2 years, a year and a half left at the time. And I had been applying to different jobs, specifically ministry related church jobs. And I just application after application of jobs. I was like, oh, this church would be great. Apply. Nope. Didn't work out. This church would be great. Apply. Went to an interview. Didn't go anywhere from there. And I mean, it was probably 15 to 20 churches that just rejected. And I was so frustrated. We had little kids at the time. We had, the twins were one, almost two, and Evie, our third born, had just been born. I was going to school full time. I was working multiple jobs to make ends meet. And I just was so stressed because I was like, God, I feel like this is what you've called me to. And yet it has been no after no after no after no after no. And so I can remember at this moment, just kind of sitting in front of my computer, they have this employment portal. And I just saw this other application pop up there. And I was like, okay, this is the last one, Lord. I'm done trying to force this. I'm done trying to make this happen. I'm going to hit submit here on my application and send in my resume. And then I'm not applying for any other jobs.
Right.
I'm just going to get through the rest of my time in seminary. And then, you know, if we need to move back to Charleston, where we were from. We'll do that.
That's a bad feeling.
So I just hit submit. And then 2 days later, I got a call from Dr. Shaw.
Wow.
And when I first came out here and met Dr. Shaw, and just he walked me around and told me about Clearview, and it was, you know, this was 9 years ago. I was like, God, thank you so much for all of the no.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that season of waiting, because it taught me, as painful and as awful as it felt, it taught me that I needed to wait on God's timing and not try to force my timing onto his timeline.
That's true. That's exactly right. I think about like even where I'm at with this album right now. Like if you are listening to the show and you weren't aware, Clearview is producing our first ever full-length album that's being produced by an external producer, somebody mm-hmm. who's not in-house here at Clearview. And this is something that a lot of churches dream of doing and that I've dreamed of doing for years. And it was always a matter of waiting, not because the answer was no, but just because we're just not at that place. Yeah. We're not in the season of writing songs and doing that stuff. So the waiting was tough. But even then, now that we're doing it, as of recording it this right now, the music, all the instrumentation is completely wrapped up. We're in this sort of awkward lull phase where we're finalizing schedules to start doing vocals and all the singing. And going through it and being kind of like leading that project alongside talking with Dr. Shaw about all the logistics and all that stuff, you start to realize that it's all a matter of time and money, and you have limited access to both.
Yeah.
Right. You have, you know, you have limited time to get it done, and you have a budget that you have to stay within and still make it sound the absolute best that it can sound.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the temptations for me is to been, or not even the temptations, but the struggles for me is to actually enjoy the process of recording. Because if you've never recorded in a professional studio before, you look at videos online, and I know David felt this way too, and so did our drummer, and anyone who's been with me so far. You look at videos online and you just see creativity and you mm-hmm. see sound and colors and big screens and faders and everybody's laughing and standing over the board. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're like they feel the Holy Spirit moving. Or if it's a secular studio, everyone's smoking and drinking and laughing and it's a big party. It's just a creator's paradise. So far from the truth that you sit in one spot and you listen to a loop on repeat for 8 hours at a time.
Wow.
And it's so draining. And it's become very easy for me to forget that I'm doing something that most churches and most worship leaders will only ever dream of being able to do.
Yeah.
And I have forgotten at times to enjoy this process.
Mm.
Very, very real temptation when you are so focused on what's coming, or like Ryan said, you don't want to do all that waiting.
Yeah.
And so Dr. Shaw kind of concludes this devotional day by saying, how do you view your journey towards the goal God has given you? This whole book is about how to reach that goal of a new beginning. Do you dread the process? Do you complain about how difficult it is? Are the people around you being impacted for the better as you head towards your finish line? God told the Jewish people to seek the peace of the city where I caused you to be carried away captive and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. Jeremiah 29:7. In other words, your well-being is dependent on the well-being of those in your path. Do you stop to notice them along the way? Are you praying for them? Have you shared Christ with them? When you finally reach your destination, you may be surprised to find out that your destination was the journey all along.
Oh, man, so good. Your destination was the journey all along.
I mean, we hear that in movies and stuff. Like, it turns out the journey, it wasn't the treasure at the end. It was the friends we made along the way.
Yeah.
There's truth to it. That's why it's cliche. That's why we hear it all the time, is because that journey that God is going to take you, it really is your life. That's the quality of your life.
Yeah. When I love the journey that it takes us to get to Jeremiah 29:11, you know, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. We can't understand that unless we understand the Babylonian exile.
That's right.
We can't understand that unless we understand the process that Israel had to go through. You know, even further back than the Babylonian exile, we talk about Israel kind of walking around this mountain, and they're just kind of circling and circling and circling and circling. And God says, enough, it's time to move forward. But he doesn't say, enough, it's time to reach your destination.
Right, that's right.
It's just time to start moving.
That's right. And even Paul says it in Romans. He says, you know, we glory in tribulation, not because we love to suffer. Like, look how holy I am because I'm suffering. It's that tribulation produces perseverance, mm-hmm. and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope.
You right.
know, there's this logical stepping stone of you going through this stuff to become a better, more well-rounded person.
Mm-hmm. It's all about process. It's all about, you know, learning what a life led by God looks like. It's not fast. The journey is not quick. Sometimes the journey might be faster than others at moments in your life. But don't rush to your destination. Don't rush, like try to skip ahead and try to just go ahead and hurry up and get to where you're going, because God has lessons that he's teaching you along the way. Every step of the way, God is working, God is moving, God is doing things. We've seen that working here at Clearview, working with Dr. Shaw. You know, we have ideas in our head and we have things like, I wish this would hurry up and happen, or I wish we'd go ahead and hurry up and get to this. The biggest one right now is the building project that we're in.
Yeah,
I wish we could hurry up and get into the building. But there's things that we're learning along the way. There's things that ways that we're seeing God move, ways that we're seeing people step up and meet needs along the way, that if we were to skip right ahead to the ending, we would miss.
Yeah. And I mean, if you struggle with impatience, we're not telling you to do anything that we don't also have to do.
Yes.
Because I can tell you, if I listed all of my character flaws onto a piece of paper, number one, I would need like a CVS receipt to get it all down, because there's a lot of them.
Why are they so long?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. Sense. That's kind of crazy. I went to CVS the other day and I was like, why is this? I don't need all this.
I don't need all this information.
This was uncalled for. If I had to list all my character flaws, 100%, I could ask any person in my life, they would put impatience at the top. And it comes with a realization that God's timing is just better than mine. I don't know best. And even if I don't think I know best, having what I want the moment I want it is not good for me. It feels good, but it's not good for me to have that.
Yeah. See, for me, you know, I hear you talk about impatience. For me, it's often fear or anxiety. Mm-hmm. I'm very much a perfectionist. So I'm very hypercritical of myself, to where I don't want to take that step on the journey unless I know that I'm going to be able to reach the end quickly and well. Like, if I can't plot out every step along the way, I don't even want to start. I want to stay back at the starting line.
Yeah.
But there's stuff to be learned in the journey. There's stuff to be learned in the middle. It's not about just making it to the end quickly. It's not about making it to the end without making any missteps or mistakes along the way. There's learning and there's growth and there's development to be had in that process and in that journey. And that's something that's a struggle for me, that I'm constantly asking God to help refine in me and help me, you know, put to death that old nature and just be willing to step out in obedience to him.
I think even what Dr. Shaw would agree, like the process of having to go to ETS, right? Like it's a huge honor to be able to read something at ETS, but it's just a small part of what ultimately we're trying to do through Clearview Church.
That's right.
He's not just reading a paper that he wrote so a bunch of other PhDs can clap and then go on to their next seminar. We're talking about something that is a very, very relevant issue in the Bible. Like we say a lot of times, or text critics will often say, you know, all of these variants, only like 5% of them have anything to do with doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? That's not just an excuse to say, let's just camp out in this 95 safe percent.
Yeah.
We still have to deal with that 5%.
Right.
So this is a process of contributing to that conversation, building connections along the way, and seeing how it will affect this radio show. It'll affect Clearview Church. It'll probably affect the way the Bible is printed in the future and written in the future.
Yeah.
If enough scholars agree, like, okay, this should be in here, it will affect the way that we read the Bible in the next 100, 200 years.
Yeah.
And that's crazy that we have a chance to sit here and be part of that.
Yeah.
Not just like we, like the three of us, you.
Yeah.
If you're at Clearview Church, you're part of that. If you listen to the Clearview Today show and you contribute, whether it's just by listening or by giving, you are contributing to the work that's being done.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful to have someone like Dr. Shaw, who's a great example of kind of waiting that being faithful in the middle. He does a great job with us just kind of making sure that we stay focused on God, making sure that we are, you know, pursuing the vision, but not trying to rush the process.
That's right.
And paying attention to what God is doing along the way.
That's right. That's right.
If you guys enjoyed today's episode, if you'd like to learn more about 30 Days to a New Beginning or other devotionals and books and resources written by Dr. Shaw, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. And like John said, you can partner with us. Be a part of what God is doing here, giving financially, being obedient to using the resources that God has given you to bless other people. Contribute to the Clearview Today show and become part of our family as we seek to impact the nations with the gospel.
That's right.
We love you guys. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday shopping to you, and we'll see you on Monday.